So, Parshas Beshalach, we have an interesting pasuk leading up to Kriyas Yamsuf, where Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, "Vayomer Moshe la'am, al tira'u, don't fear, his yatzivu ru'ur es yishuas Hashem, just stand by and see the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asher yaseh lachem ayom, that I'll do for you today, ki asher ri'isem es Mitzrayim ayom, the way in which you see Mitzrayim today, lo so sifu lir osam ad olam, od ad olam, you will not continue to see them further forever." So, what exactly is the meaning of lo sosifu lir osam od ad olam, that you won't continue to see the Egyptians forevermore? So, al pi pashtos, the simple interpretation of this pasuk, which is also adopted by the Targum Yerushalmi, is that Moshe is giving a havtacha to Klal Yisrael. He's making a promise, a guarantee to the nation at the time, and he's telling them that despite their concern that they might return to the Shibud of Mitzrayim that they've experienced for the past 210 years, nonetheless, they should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of them, he will lead the Geula and bring them to Eretz Yisrael, and they will never again have to endure the Shibud of Mitzrayim. That's the simple interpretation of the pasuk. But as the Ramban al HaTorah notes, and many other Yishonim follow in his path, there's another interpretation of what lo sosifu lir osam od ad olam means. It's not only a havtacha, a guarantee to the nation at the time that they won't fall back into the Shibud Mitzrayim, but it also constitutes an isser in the Torah. There's also a prohibition laden within these words. What is that prohibition? Lo sosifu lir osam od ad olam. The prohibition is for us to return to Mitzrayim. There's a prohibition for Klal Yisrael to return to the land of Egypt based on this pasuk of lo sosifu lir osam od ad olam. And indeed, the Mechilta and also the Yerushalmi in Sukkah and also in Sanhedrin both note that there are three distinct places in the Torah at which this Isser is noted. The first is in our Parsha, the Pasuk of Lo Sosifu Lir Osam Od Ad Olam. The second is in Parsha Shoftim in Sefer Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin, where the Torah gives the laws for a Melech, and the Torah says that a Melech cannot have Riboy Susim, he can't have too many horses, because Hashem amar lachem lo sosifun lashuv baderech hazeod. Hashem has told you that, meaning Klal Yisrael, that they will not return through this path to Mitzrayim. And in the third instance of a source comes in the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo, where the threat that the Tochacha mentions is Vehashivacha Hashem Mitzrayim bo'onios baderech asher amarti lecha lo sosif olir osa, that Hashem will return Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim through ships overseas, and asher amarti lecha lo sosif olir osa, that despite the fact that Hashem has said that we will never see the land of Mitzrayim again, because again, this is coming in the context of the Tochacha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael that they're going to be punished. So therefore, ideally, they would not have seen the land of Mitzrayim again, but because of this punishment, they're going to be brought back to the land of Mitzrayim. Be it as it may, the Mechilta and Yerushalmi quote these three sources for this prohibition to return to Mitzrayim. So I'd like to ask a couple of questions in trying to delve into this Isser for just a couple of minutes that we have today. The first, pertaining specifically to the point that we just mentioned, is why do we need three separate sources for this Isser to return to Mitzrayim? Is there some difference between the sources? Is the Torah just trying to overcompensate for this Isser and trying to establish how chamor this Isser is? Or is it trying to say, you know, you might have thought that this is not such a serious Isser, so you should know that it actually does have a lot of gravity? Or is there a need for three sources on some other basis? That's the first question. The second question is, what is the nature of this Isser? And in truth, if we pay careful attention to the language of the sources, then we see mixed implications as to the nature of this Isser. On the one hand, we have the pasuk in our parsha, Parshas Beshalach, Lo sosifu lir osam od ad olam. In that pasuk, the subject of the prohibition is not the land of Mitzrayim, but rather the nation of the Mitzrayim, of the Egyptians. It sounds like lo sosifu lir osam, to see them, meaning the Mitzrayim, that there's an Isser for Klal Yisrael to live with Egyptians in the same land. However, when it comes to the psukim mentioned in Sefer Dvarim, both in Parsha Shoftim and in Parshas Kisavo, the subject of the Isser is not the inhabitants of the land, not the nation of Egypt, but rather the land, the location. The pasuk says, "Lo sosif o lir osa," to see it. So the Isser becomes not to live with Mitzriyim, with Egyptians, but rather to live in Eretz Mitzrayim, to live in the land of Egypt. So there's mixed implications amongst the Mekoros, amongst the sources for this Isser, about its nature. Is it an Isser to live with the Egyptian nation, or is it an Isser to live in the land of Egypt? And we'll see shortly some practical consequences between those two options. And the third and final question that I'd like to deal with today is, what is the scope of this Isser? Under what circumstances does it apply? And in truth, we always want to know any scope of a prohibition or a mitzvah that appears in the Torah. But for this Isser in specific, this question is really crucial. Why is that? Because there's a huge issue that many Rishonim and Achronim deal with, which is that we know of many Gedolim, including Rav Sajagon, the Rambam, the Radvaz, who all lived in Mitzrayim. Could it be that the Rambam himself, who codifies this Isser in the Mishneh Torah and also in Sefer HaMitzvos, would live in Mitzrayim and be over on the Isser? Of course not. It can't be that the Rambam would have been over on the Isser that he himself codifies. So how can it be that these Gedolim, including Rav Sajagon, the Ramban, the Radvaz, that they all lived, and many other communities, that they all lived in Mitzrayim? Seemingly, there must be some limitation on this Isser to justify the practice of communities living in Mitzrayim that has existed for quite a while. So let's start with that third and final question about the scope of the Isser. The Talmud Yerushalmi mentions a universally accepted limitation, which is that it is permitted to return to Mitzrayim for specific purposes, like schora, like conducting business, and also like kibush, meaning if the melech in Eretz Yisrael wanted to expand the borders or to take on other lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, so that it would be mutter to fight a war in Egypt in order to conquer the land. So the way that the Rambam and also other Yishonim explain is that this Yerushalmi is basically saying that the Isser is lehishtakeya sham. The Isser is to go back to Mitzrayim with the intent on residing there in a permanent fashion. But if one returns to Mitzrayim for some alternative reason without intent to reside there permanently, then his return would be permitted. Interestingly, just as an agav point, a davar schok, but a couple of years ago, I think I saw an ad, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of Pesach programs. There was one Pesach program advertising for one in Egypt to return to the to where it all happened, I think the slogan was. So there was a question as to whether that was halachically permissible to even have the Pesach program in Egypt. Of course, I don't think it was in line with the spirit of the halacha, but nonetheless, there was even a question of whether it was halachically permitted. All things being equal, it probably was permitted, again, because of this reason. Because if people are going just for a Pesach program, they're not going to really reside there permanently. They're going just for some alternative reason, akin to a schor of a kibush, and therefore such a program would be permitted, although probably not suggested. Okay, so let's go on for now. So that's a universally accepted limitation. But are there other limitations on this Isser? So there's one question as to whether the Isser to return to Mitzrayim applies at all times. So this was a machlokas between the Rishonim. There's an opinion in the Ritva, in Maseches Yuma, that this Isser applies only while the original native Egyptians still inhabited Mitzrayim. But once Sancheirev came along and was mevalbel all of the nations, and there's a debate whether this applied to the Mitzrayim, but nonetheless, let's assuming that we no longer have the descent of the original Egyptians who were mishabed our nation during the Shibud Mitzrayim. So according to this opinion in the Ritva, the Isser would no longer apply, because the Isser applies only while the original inhabitants are still there. But according to the Rambam, and this is the way the Minchas Chinuch reads the Rambam, the Isser applies at all times, regardless of whether the original Egyptians still reside in Mitzrayim, or whether other inhabitants have taken over Mitzrayim, nonetheless, the Isser still applies. So what's the root of the dispute between this opinion in the Ritva and between the Rambam, whether the Isser applies specifically when the original Egyptians are in Egypt, or even at all times? So seemingly, the Nekudas HaMachlokas would be the question that we discussed at the beginning of the Chabura. Namely, is the Isser, what's the nature of the Isser? Is the Isser one to reside with Egyptians, with the nation, or is the Isser to come back to the land of Mitzrayim? According to the opinion in the Ritva, the Isser is to live together with the Egyptian nation. So since the Egyptian nation no longer exists, or if it doesn't exist, then the Isser would no longer apply. And since it no longer exists nowadays, so probably the Isser would not apply nowadays. However, according to the Rambam, the Isser is not to live with the Egyptian nation, but in contrast, to return to the land, to the geography of Eretz Mitzrayim. And that being the case, the Isser would apply at all times. Let's go on to another interesting question, which is really like the flip side of this this first question. Namely, does the Isser to return to Mitzrayim, or let's phrase it like this, is there an Isser to live with Mitzrayim, with Egyptians, in a land that is not Egypt, in a land outside of Eretz Mitzrayim? So the Pashtus, and this is what's accepted by most Rishonim, including the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch, is that the Isser would certainly not apply in such a situation. The Isser is specifically to return to the land of Mitzrayim. But there is an opinion noted in the work of the Gripap, Hagon of Yerucham Fishel Perla, in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Sadrugon. So he says that according to some opinions, the Isser would apply to living with Egyptians in any land in the world, even outside of Eretz Mitzrayim. So again, what would the Nekudas HaMachlokas be? So it would be the same root of dispute that we saw just a minute ago. Namely, according to the Rambam, the nature of the Isser is to return to the land of Mitzrayim, and therefore, living with Egyptians in America anywhere else in the world would not be problematic. But according to this opinion in the Gripap, so the nature of the Isser is to live together with the nation of Mitzrayim, with the Mitzrayim, and therefore that Isser might even apply outside of the land of Israel. Now, if we take this a step further, what really lies behind this dispute as to whether the Isser is to live together with Egyptians, with the nation, or to return to the land? So, if the Isser is to live together with the Egyptian nation, then seemingly the Isser is about the negative influence that is the risk of living together with this nation. Meaning that the Torah defines the Egyptian nation as having corrupt morals, kema'asei Eretz Mitzrayim, that the Egyptian nation did not have a moral and ethical society, and therefore we are warned against living in such a society. But if the Isser is to return to the land of Mitzrayim, so then what would be the conceptual reasoning for that Isser? So this could be taken in one of two ways. The Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch both seem to say that the Isser is the reasoning for the Isser is similar to what we just described, namely that the Torah wants to sever us from the moral corruption of the Egyptian society. But it's not sufficient not to live with the Mitzrayim, or in other words, it's what the way in which that Isser manifests is in not returning to their land. Why? Apparently, the Rambam believes that when the Egyptians establish this immoral society, so they infuse within the land a certain negative character, which is antithetical to Jewish values and to Jewish life. And once the land has that negative character, so then it becomes anathema. It cannot be inhabited by the Jewish nation, even if the Egyptian nation no longer exists there. However, there is also another approach taken by the Yeraim, or is seemingly implied by the Yeraim, as to why we would not be able to return to the land of Mitzrayim, not having to do with the negative influence of the nation of the Egyptians. What is that reasoning? So it comes from his position that puts forth another limitation on this prohibition. What is that limitation? So there's a question as to whether the Isser to return to Mitzrayim applies to all paths of travel or only to specific ones. Most Rishonim think, including the Rambam and also the Sefer Achinuch, that the Isser applies to all paths of travel. It doesn't matter whether you take a flight from America to Egypt, whether you take a flight from Brazil to Egypt, whether you take a flight from England to Egypt. It doesn't matter. As long as you return to Egypt and you're going al menas on condition to reside there permanently, then you have violated the Isser. But the Yeraim explains that is not the case. The Yeraim says that the Isser applies only if one returns specifically from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. Only if he returns from the land of Israel back to the land of Egypt. So what's the sense of that limitation of the Yeraim? What underlies that position of the Yeraim? So I saw explained in the Sefer Chavatzelas HaSharon, and I think this is a very beautiful explanation, it really works very nicely with the Yeraim's limitation, is that what the Yeraim is trying to say here with this position is that the Isser to return to Mitzrayim is an Isser because it bespeaks a trying to undo the process and the journey of Geula that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us on from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. When we were in Eretz Mitzrayim and we were mishtabed, so then we had to go along a journey back to Eretz Yisrael as our journey of Geula, of Goal Yisrael. And when one undoes that journey and he returns along the same path from Eretz Yisrael back to Mitzrayim, so then what he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is essentially that he's kofer betov. He doesn't care about the Geula process because he's undoing it himself by returning from the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wished him to be in Eretz Yisrael and back to the land of Mitzrayim, where he was enslaved for so many years. So again, that would be another reason why Eretz Mitzrayim would be the specific location for this Isser. Now, getting back to our first question is, why are there so many sources for this Isser? Why do we have to have three different Mekoros? So Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perla explains that according to the Bahag, so the Baal Halachos Gedolos, who actually counts multiples of these psukim, that there exist multiple elements in the Isser. That it's two dinim. There's one Isser to return to the land of Mitzrayim. That's what we learn from Parsha Shoftim. And there's also an Isser to live with the Egyptian nation. That's what we learn from Parshas Beshalach of Lo Sosifu Lir Osam, to see the Egyptians, Od Ad Olam. So it could be that the multiplicity of the psukim correlates to two different elements in the Isser. It doesn't have to be either one. It could be both, that there's an Isser both to return to the land of Mitzrayim and also an Isser to live together with the Egyptians. Now, on the Machshava level, there's some very interesting points that come out of this Lamdus. Firstly, seemingly the two aspects or the two elements of the Isser, whether it's to return to the land or to live together with the Egyptian nation, also correlate. They can be matched to two aspects of the Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's very well known that Yetzias Mitzrayim was both a physical and a spiritual geula, a physical and a spiritual freedom. There was a freedom from the shibud of Mitzrayim, from the enslavement in the physical way. That's what took place in the land of Egypt. And there was also a freedom from the darkei Mitzrayim, from the maasei eretz Mitzrayim, from the culture of the Egyptians, which was a negative influence and harmful to Klal Yisrael, which brought us to the memtes levels of tumah. So these two aspects of the Isser correlate to these two aspects of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're not allowed to return to the land of Mitzrayim because we don't want to put ourselves back into the place of the Shibud. And we're also not allowed to live together with the Egyptian nation because we have to sever ourselves from the morally corrupt ways of the Egyptian nation that enslaved us. And in addition to that point, I think there's also another very profound point here. And that's if we pay careful attention to the position of the Rambam. I mean, mentioning of this just a minute ago, but I'll explain it a bit further in our final minute. Which is that according to the Rambam, the Isser is really to return to the land of Mitzrayim, but the Rambam also recognizes that the Torah doesn't want us to return to the land of Mitzrayim because the Egyptian society was so morally corrupt. Now, seemingly the Rambam is having his cake and eating it too. If it's about the moral corruption, so then it shouldn't be about the specific land of Mitzrayim. And if it's about the land of Mitzrayim, so what does that have to do with the Egyptian nation? But seemingly what the Rambam is saying, as I explained earlier, that through the morally corrupt society that the Egyptians had in Mitzrayim, they infused within the land a certain negative character. And what results from there, what emerges from that position, is that there's an ability for us to define the context and environment within which we live. The Ramban has the same idea in a positive way for Eretz Yisrael. He thinks that Eretz Yisrael is also supposed to have a positive character, defined and characterized by the mitzvos that we perform there, the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz, and also all of Taryag mitzvos. And in contrast, on the negative side, what the Rambam is telling us about Eretz Mitzrayim is that the land, the environment, the atmosphere is infused with a negative character based on the morally corrupt society that the Egyptians upheld within Eretz Mitzrayim. So just to conclude again, this chabur should be Le'ilui Nishmas, my grandfather, Harav Yisrael Nachman ben Asher Anshel HaKohen. And I know he would be happy for us to have delved into a lamdus and a sugya. He was a very, very big fan and huge proponent of lamdus and of Torah bi'iyun, of Talmud Torah bi'iyun, and he always sought to understand things at the deepest of levels and to get to the roots of whatever he saw before him, of all of the opinions within a sugya, and try to really understand conceptually what was going on behind them. And hopefully we accomplished that goal today with respect to the sugya of the Isser Lashuv, the Mitzrayim, to return to Mitzrayim. Everyone have a great rest of the week.